Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up. Always waiting for something good to find. Tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long. And you can't take my light away. Even though all my times I'm happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace. So knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep it walking on. Walking shoes,
step two, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walk in shoes.
Thy word's the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walk in shoes, walk in shoes.
Walk into a promise. Walk into a better land.
Said I believe, I believe. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. All praise, all glory, all honor is due unto thee, Almighty One Yah. Father, as we start on this sixth episode of Study to Show Thyself Approved unto you, O Heavenly Father, my prayer is, Father, that you open my heart, that you open my mind, Father, to speak your word, Father, to receive and to speak your word, Father. Father, I ask that you look down upon all of us with mercy, with kindness, and with favor, especially now as we are starting to embark on a new month, but possibly the loss of a dear loved one, Father, that You look down upon us with mercy and faith, Father, and kindness. That's all we ask, Father, that you lead us and guide us, Father, as we continue to walk through this wilderness, Father, that you continue to be that cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night, Father, that you hedge us up, Father, from the enemy, Father, that you hedge us up from the adversary, as he is always working to thwart your plans. But we know, Father, yeah, that he will not succeed in what he intends to do, Father, because as the word says, that your word, your will, is forever shut up in the heavens. And even though within the last 2 minutes he tried to do something to thwart your word getting out, Father, I just ask, Father, that you bind him up on this Shabbat day in all of our lives, Father, that you hedge us up, Father, and as the good shepherd that you are, not allow this wolf to enter into our lives on your holy Shabbat, not to give him not one inch, not one centimeter, not even come close. Father, send down your holy Malachim, Father, with their flaming, glittering swords, Father, to protect all of us, Father. Give us the faces of lions as those men, Father, that had when they were called out with their dedication to fight for the honor of the king that you anointed to sit upon the throne, Father. Give us those faces of lions, Father. Give us the heart of a lion, Father. Give us the spirit of a lion, Father. Give us the strength that we need, Father, to endure, Father. Don't let whatever problems, whatever situations come upon us, Father, at them the same way King David, as a little boy, looked at those quote-unquote insurmountable problems, Father. Let us understand that we need to walk with the whole armor that you have given us, Father, from the arsenal that is your word, Father. Father, you are the commander of armies. We hear captain of hosts, but sometimes it doesn't really, Father, sit in with those words, the captain of the. You are the commander of armies. You, Father, are the ultimate general. You, Father, are the one who puts the battle in array. You are the ultimate strategist. You are the ultimate warrior, Father. And we just ask, Father, to be those arrows, those fiery arrows, Father, that are used to destroy the plans of the adversary, the plans of the ones who choose to do evil against you and to choose to do evil against your children. Father, we just ask now that you bind them up, Father, and you bind up our broken hearts. You bind up our wounds, Father, so that, Father, put that healing ointment of your word upon us all, Father, so that we can go forth, Father, with the strength, Father, with the endurance, Father, with the power, Father, that you have given us through your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father. We pray in his holy, his precious, his saving, and divine name. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Family, could you let me know, please, if I am coming through, if you haven't already told our Rabbi, Rabbi, appreciate that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because, again, that adversary tries so hard. Because he is the prince of the power of the air, and because he has control over this technology sometimes, he tried everything within his power to not have this lesson start on time. But as I've seen, one of the texts is right on time. Hallelujah. So let's get into this word, family. Let's talk about our Heavenly Father. Let's talk about his son, Yahushua, Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, right? Let's get into this. Again, shalom, shalom, shalom. This is your brother, Hava, with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, USA. And this is the sixth installment of Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as we start on this journey, family, walk with me, and let's talk about this word, and let's hear some things that our brother, our king, our Redeemer, our Savior, left for us as a testimony to what it is that we are to do, family. We heard the words of my brother last night. Fortify, unify. That's right. We're going to fortify and unify. But we're going to talk about the tie that binds us all together, because there is one tie that should bind us all together in this walk that we have, right? Think about our children, right? What makes us the most proud about our children? I'm sure achievements, whether they're academic, whether they're athletic, whether it's anything that they look towards achieving in life, whether we agree with it or not, what makes us the most proud of our children? And I could almost guarantee that this would probably, out of all the things that may be in the hierarchy of things that make you proudest about your child, I would say, as a parent, that in the top five of that category would be being obedient and listening to my voice as a father when they ask me certain things, when they question me about certain things, when they bring a particular situation to me in regards to what situations they may have going on in their life, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's make a move to the right, whether it's make a move to the left, that the one thing as a father that makes me the most proud is when they are involved in the situation and they come and they seek my guidance as a father, which I honor and I treasure all those moments when my daughters or my sons come to me and say, hey, Dad, hey, Abba, Daddy-O, whatever, that if I say, you know, baby, do this or that, or maybe you should consider this or that, or have you thought of this or that, when they say, okay, and they go ahead along with what I say. And what makes me even happier is when one of my babies listens to me and hears the words that I say and know within their heart of hearts that the last thing I would want to do intentionally is lead them astray, is to listen, and then it works out exactly in the manner in which Abba, my Abba, Yah, led in my heart to guide my child, and it works out. When they listen, it makes me the most proudest of that. When I know that my babies are being obedient on the Shabbat, when I know my babies are following what Yahweh asked them to do, not me, but their father also. Because without Abba Yah, I could not be a father. And without Abba Yah, their life, I'm not in command of their life. He is in command of their life. He leads them. He guides them. He watches over them. That's out of my power. The only thing that I can do as their father is pray every day for them and that they make the right decision and they follow, not my example, but the example that is left for them in the Torah. And that they build a personal relationship with their Heavenly Father as I am trying to build a personal relationship with my Heavenly Father, right? So as I'm preparing for this lesson this morning, right, and I'm, you know, talking to Abba, finalizing, you know, whatever it is that Abba may want me to say, what he's placing in my heart, what he's saying go with, one of the things that I came across in the book that I pick up every Shabbat, I pick up at least once a week, and sometimes, you know, several times on the Shabbat, especially now that, you know, I'm in my teaching rotation, and it's our Beth Yahweh worship book, the congregational worship book, our praise and worship book, right? And this is the first iteration of it. And when I open up to the first page, other than seeing Voices of Power, Jeremiah 1:10, that we went over in the motto who service, how Yahweh has been leading and guiding us all along, that I see that it starts off, the very first opening page starts off with, let all things be done decently and in order. And that is from 1 Corinthians 14:40. And it just so happened that I was up in the room, went up into my room, and on the TV show, on the TV, there was a movie on, right? And it was a movie with two men sitting down being there talking about the way things were and how things are happening and the way that things are going in the world today. And it's a period movie. So this is back in the late 60s, early 70s. And I'm not going to mention the title of the movie. But this is the line that I just so happened to walk in on. And it really caught my ear. And he said, "More important than any one man's life is order. Because without order, people cannot exist." And at first I was conflicted about the statement because I'm like, what do you mean that one man's life is not more important than order? Because when you think about our life, the most important entity in our life at one point was a man, and that was the heavenly, our Savior, our Redeemer, Yahushua HaMashiach. But one of the things that had to happen even in his life, in the body that he inhabited, that had to pass on. So as did Abraham, so as did Adam, Huah, Enoch, Noach, Moshe, Aharon, Joshua, the judge, Shemuel, Samson, David, Solomon, Shaul. So all of these people, all of the prophets, everyone, and at some point, me, Brother Ahab, I am going to pass on, just as, forgive me for saying this, family, but it's a reality, just as everyone else may at some point pass on, right? But the one thing that will endure beyond any human life, beyond anything that breathes the breath of life, is Yahweh's word that is forever shut up in the heavens. His word endures forever. As even Yahushua HaMashiach said, not one jot and not one tittle is going to pass away until it is completed. So that is the one that we can guarantee beyond a shadow of a doubt. His order, the way he set up things, the way he has ordained things to be, will endure, family. So I had to ponder that statement and ponder my feelings about that statement and table my feelings and say that was absolutely right. More important than any one man's life. And not that that life is important, but let's also understand the totality of that statement, as my brother sometimes likes to say, like what the Proverbs say, that whatever plans that that person has, once they give up the ghost, once Abba takes back what belongs to him, which is that breath of life, those plans perish with that individual. So when you think about one man's life, it's not just his individual life, but his lifetime, his legacy, whatever it is that he planned to do, whatever it is that he had within his mindset, that is all a part of his life. Or as Gershom Ben Daniel used to state, who has also passed on, that dash. That dash is the measuring stick of every individual's life, not just by what he left behind to people that still remain, but also that dash is most important to our Heavenly Father. Because at some point, that dash is going to be your measuring stick before him. And our sincere desire should be that we measure up enough to be able to be welcomed in to quote-unquote glory. So again, we're talking about the tie that binds. What keeps us together? What unifies us? What fortifies us? Or what should unify us and what should fortify us? Because even when you look at this term or I don't know, is it a proverb, pity maxim? I don't know what it is. When you look at this, the tie that binds, right? And what it means, what this phrase means is, and I'm looking it up, right? In the simplest form, a shared belief that links people together. A shared belief or other factor that links people together. So what is our shared belief and what is that factor that links us together, that fortifies us, that unifies us? What is that, family? Because we have a common purpose. We have a reason for being. We have a reason for doing. And even when you think about it, and you think about all the different backgrounds that we all come from, the different areas, the different regions, the different parts of this planet in some cases, what is the purpose that we are all together? Why have we been called together? Why have we been called out? Why are we in association with one another? Because there is a reason for that. We didn't just come together. This ain't a Big Bang Theory organization. It ain't all by happenstance. It's by design. And if that message isn't sinking into each and every individual mind, into your psyche, into your heart, and into your soul, then the question must be asked, why not? Why not? Because here's the thing that everyone needs to understand. If you are in here and you are dedicated to one individual, and when I say individual, one person in here whose name isn't Rebbe Melech Yehushua HaMashiach, then you have a problem. Then you have a problem. You, the individual, has a problem. And by absolute, with beyond the shadow of a doubt, credit and honor with honor and credit is always due. And we have a leader for a reason. But more so than dedication to any one individual should be dedication to Rebbe Melech Yehushua HaMoshiach and who he has ordained over our congregation. As Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lamb. And as long as those individuals or that one person is following the Lamb, then by all means, you should follow that individual unwaveringly. But don't take my word for it. Hear it from the Word. We're going to Shemot, Exodus 20 and verse 1. 1 and 2, fam. Once I get to it. Hallelujah. And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your mighty one, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You have no other mighty ones against my face. You do not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of that which is in the heavens above or which is in the earth beneath or which is in the waters under the earth. You do not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your mighty one, am a jealous mighty one, visiting the crookedness of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing kindness to thousands to those who love me and guard my command. You do not bring the name of Yahweh, your mighty one, to naught. For Yahweh does not leave the one unpunished who brings his name to naught. So the first thing, and we have been going through that, we have, by the words of Yahweh, our leader, been taking us through every single one of the 10 words, or rather the 10 commandments. And the first part of that is making sure that you have a right relationship with your mighty one. Guess what, family? If you have a problem with a brother or sister, if you have a problem with anybody within the midst of the conversation, and when I say that, you have a problem, not that there's a problem between the two of you, as in there is some type of argument or that there is some sort of disagreement. If for any reason you, and when I say you have a problem with a brother or a sister or a group of brothers or group of sisters, you are out of the relationship with your Heavenly Father. If you can't look at every one of your brothers and every one of your sisters with the same love, the same admiration, the same dedication on the fact that you have a relationship with the Creator, then you have a problem. The beginning of every problem, when you are a believer, the beginning of every problem starts with the lack of relationship that you have with your mighty one. But don't take my word for it. Let's hear the words of Yahushua HaMashiach. We're going to John, the 17th chapter, St. John, the 17th chapter, family. We're going to read the entire chapter, because this is one of the most important chapters when it comes to the relationship that we have with one another, the relationship that we have with the Creator, the relationship that we have, when I say Creator, I mean Abba Yah, the relationship that we have with Yahushua HaMoshiach. 17:1 reads, "These words spake Yahushua, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." So his first request is that I make Daddy look good. He said, the hour is come. He says, glorify thy Son. Glorify me, that I may glorify you. So his unwavering dedication was to his Father and to represent his Father well. That's the first thing that he's saying. He knows the time has come. I'm about to be taken off the scene. I got to go through this punishment. I got to be able to go through this right. So give me my glory. And we're going to see what that glory is. Give me my glory that I can glorify thee. Not to big up myself, not for self-promotion. Not to feel special for his own good, but that his Father is glorified. That's his first request. 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's 17:2, family. 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true mighty one. Let me read that again. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true mighty one. So the first thing he wants to do is ensure that people know the Heavenly Father as the one true mighty one. That's part of glorifying him. And then, still in 17:3, Yahushua HaMashiach, whom thou hast sent. Everything that he did was for the glory of the Heavenly Father. Not to his own self-serving interest, whatever that may be for the individual, but that Abba Yah is glorified and that people have eternal life by knowing and understanding that he is the one true living God and that he sent Yahushua HaMashiach. Going on to 17:4. He said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Are we walking in that? Are we glorifying him? Are we worried about whether or not things fit our own self-serving interests? We must look ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves this question. Am I glorifying you, Abba Yah, with my thoughts, with my actions, with my deeds? Am I in lockstep with you, Abba Yah, for your glory? Am I making you proud? Am I listening to you? Am I following your directions? Am I honoring you with my speech, with my actions? Again, let's read that. I have glorified thee on earth, 17:4. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Once we get to the end of our line, can we safely and securely say the very same thing that Yahushua said here in 17:4? I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We taught last Shabbat that he has a glory that this world will never understand at this point. He has a glory as far as a formation outside of the flesh that this world can never understand, except through some of the heavenly powers that we see in the heavens. The sun, the moon. Lightning. Even when we see in the book of Daniel how the angel was described to him. Daniel fainted in the presence of an angel, a created being of Yahushua HaMashiach. One of his holy malachim was so glorious that it made Daniel go, oh, and faint. We know the scriptures. Whenever these angels came in the presence of a man, they said they fell like dead men. They fainted. They lost control over their faculties to the point where they just fell out. That's just in the presence of an angel. One of my favorite scenes and one of my favorite movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark, when that dummy, which Yahweh knows why he has that ark hidden wherever he has it hidden, because humanity would do something with it that would cause them to be destroyed, just like what happened when they captured the ark, the enemy captured the ark, and it became a curse to them. Is that what we see for those who've seen at the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark? He said his little piece in Hebrew. The only part I can make out was that I've ever really paid attention. He says, Mishpacha. That's the last word he says before he tells them to open up the ark. What's his name? Bela, right? And then once he opens up the ark, the first thing he looks and he says, oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
But then, boy, did things turn in an instant. Once some angels came out of there and they revealed exactly who they were to them, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, when they made that film, they understood. And all they could do with the technology that they had at the time was show exactly what would happen to humanity in the present. And that isn't the creator. Just the presence of the representative of the creator would burn them to ashes. Y'all remember the scene that y'all saw in the movie? They melted. Melted like candle wax. So think about the summertime when the sun is at its strongest. How it cooks us when we outside. Got to get out that heat sometime. And I'm a lover of the heat. I love the heat. Give me the heat all day long. Can't stand the cold. My hands are cold now. I'm not a fan of the cold. But even the lover of the heat sometimes got to say, "Ooh, let me get inside in some AC." So the glory that he had in the heavens, we can't even fathom in our minds the extent of what that is. And we've been through the book of Enoch. 17:5. "And now, O Father, glorify me. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." He said, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world." What did he do? He said, "He manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Wait a minute. You mean Yahushua didn't pick them himself? You mean Yahushua didn't do this on his own? He said, "Abba gave him men." So that means the men that are being called out to represent Yahushua HaMashiach, they were picked by Yah. "I have manifested thy name unto men which thou hast gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." So they once were Abba's. Abba said, "I'm going to give them to you, Yahushua HaMashiach, and you're going to teach them about me, and they're going to have a sincere heart towards me, and they are going to keep the word which you have passed on to them from me." 17:7. "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." So let's break that down into common English. They know that whatever you gave me came from you. I don't have anything except that it comes from you. Forgive me if you hear the dogs barking in the background, family. Matter of fact, let me read this from another verse. I'm going to go to the TS 2009, just in case the message isn't clear. "Now they have come to know that all you gave to me is from you." Common English. They have come to know. So that means Yahushua, even in his mission here on earth, always made sure he gave glory back to the Father. Always made sure he pointed everything back to the Father. Hmm? 17:8. And I'm still in the TS 2009. "Because the words which you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and have truly known that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them." 17:9. "I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." For they are yours. So he says, and think about this for a second, because Everybody has a misconception about him and who he was, what his mission is, what he's supposed to do, what he came to do. Again, he said in his word, I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to gather everybody and say a whole bunch of shaloms. I didn't come to shake hands. I didn't come to rub elbows. And now that's the new thing we do. We touch each other's elbows. I ain't come to do all that. I came to bring about a variance because I want those who love me to cleave to me and to bind to me. Because the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and I'm still in the TS 2009, and have truly known that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. So not only did he have to present to them belief in the Father, they had to also believe what he says to them. Back to 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those who you have given to me, for they are yours. And I love this one, 17:10. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have esteemed in them. And then he goes on to say, and I am no more in the world, 17:11, but these are in the world, and I come to you. So he's saying, I got to depart. I'm leaving these behind. I'm coming up to you. Switching back to the King James Version, 17:11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Heavenly Father, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. I'll read that one more time. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was in the world, 17:12, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So the only one that wasn't there to the very end was the one that had to do what he had to do in order to fulfill the Holy Scriptures. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do we understand the magnitude of that? Do we understand the magnitude of that? We have been blessed with something that from Abba Yah through Yahushua HaMashiach that the entire world hates. And what did he give them? He gave them the word. So when we start thinking about the tie that binds us together, the thing that unifies us, the thing that fortifies us, it has to be that unwavering dedication to his word. Again, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Do we understand this, family? Whether we like it or not, we are going to be hated. And at some point, we, if we are dedicated to the word, are all that we are going to have in this world. Do we understand that? So we can't keep getting hung up on things. Because trust me, if we cannot stand now, if we cannot come together now, what is going to happen when the heat is really turned up? Because trust me, the oven is warming up now. It's just at 350. It's in warm-up stage. But eventually, that oven is going to get to 400 or whatever the maximum temperature is, and things are going to start to cook. And when they start to cook, are we going to have the unwavering faith as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had? Mishael, Hananiah, I forgot the other name, forgive me. Are we going to go into that fiery furnace knowing that we are protected, that even though that three may enter in, that there's going to be one that looks like the Son of the Living God walking around up with them in there in the midst of the fire? You know, as we sat by the fireside one night, just looking at those that wood burning and how hot that boy looks like on the inside. Just looking at how that piece of wood turns a bright orangey, reddish orange, and you just look inside that log that's burning like right there in the middle. You say, "Ooh, that boy look hot." As a matter of fact, if you get too close, you feel how hot it is. It's like when the nights are really cold out there and you get close to the fire, it's like, yeah, you get close to the fire and you say, yeah, I want to get close to the fire. But sometimes you sit by the fire and you got to pull back from the fire for a little bit because that little bit of firewood that's burning is so hot. So just imagine how hot this furnace was that those three brothers, those three Hebrew brothers in the book of Daniel were placed in. And that is a allegory of what is to take place with all of his children at some point if they are dedicated to him, that the world is going to hate them to the extent that if we do not do what the world says as opposed to what his word says, we're going to be hated. 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. So he's saying, look, don't take them out the world. I'm not saying to remove them from what's going on down here. I'm just saying hedge them up, keep them from evil, protect them from this evil. Don't remove them. Because if you remove them, they won't learn what you got for them to learn. And on top of that, they won't be there as a testimony to what the world is doing wrong. And you want to know what the world is doing wrong, family? Let's turn to it. Let's turn to it, family. Matter of fact, let's go back to Matthew 24. Give you the verse in a second, family. They got to find it. Ah, 24:14. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, right? So, One of the things I wanted to share with everybody last week, and this was some confirmation, again, for me, I was always confirming for me that we are right on point, we are right on track. That's why I trust what and how Abba is leading us and who Abba has given us to lead us. Because at this point, not that that individual hasn't failed me, but that Abba hasn't failed me by leading him. Right? So when we look at this verse, Matthew 24:14, and he says, and this gospel of the kingdom, so we know that the kingdom must be talked about. The kingdom must be talked about. The kingdom must be talked about. The kingdom is the message, not always gloom and doom and all this other stuff, but the kingdom. Because otherwise, why would he mention it? Kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And we look at this word witness in the Greek 31:42. It is martyrion. Martyrion, where we get the term martyr from. But I didn't understand what a martyr was until I actually read this. What a real martyr is. Let's look at the definition. Neuter of a presumed derivative of Greek 31:44, something evidential that is generally evidence given or specifically, check this out, family, what has the leader of our congregation been doing with us, I believe, every month on the new moon? Hasn't he been going through the Decalogue, the 10 words, the 10 commandments? Hold up. You mean the witness of the kingdom that needs to be preached into all the world against them is the Decalogue and the sacred tabernacle? There's only one Decalogue, family, and that's the 10 commandments. But hasn't our spiritual leader been led to go through the 10 commandments? Why? 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 I'll tell you why. Because once he finishes that 10th commandment and we gain a full understanding of that 10th commandment, our commission is to go out into this world and start bringing the reality of why these governments are failing. Everybody was up in arms about Trump. But guess what? His successor ain't doing no better. His successor ain't doing not one bit better at all. But I tell you what they are doing. They are fulfilling the plan that they have and their leader has. They are fulfilling that plan. Trust and believe. They're not going to fail at their mission. See, because I don't know about anybody else, but if I have somebody that I truly dislike and I really consider them an enemy, I ain't showing up nowhere where they at. But you know where they both presented and spoke at? And see, this is how we get duped every time. Every election cycle, we get duped with the same red wave, blue wave, conservative, progressive. And because we get bombarded with this information, bombarded with this information, bombarded with this information, we get caught up in it. Spoke together at the World Economic Forum years ago. Donald J. Trump and Joe Biden. They both spoke at the same World Economic Forum that at some point is going to perform the Great Reset. And under the guidelines of the Great Reset, you will own nothing. That means every dollar. That means your house. That means your clothes. That means your car. That means everything. This is their plan, that you will own nothing. But you'll be happy. That is their master plan right now, family. And don't take my word for it. They got the plan set right on their website for the World Economic Forum. So their master plan is going to go into fruition whether we like it or not, whether you're on page with it or not, whether you agree with it or not. So the thing that we best do is get in line with Rebbe Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach and do what it is that he is leading us and guiding us to do happily and put aside your personal feelings. Subdue your emotions and bring those thoughts into captivity, because the longer we meander, the longer we go and we keep kicking the can down the road, guess what's not going to stop? First and foremost, Abba's will. His will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. That is a fact, a divine fact. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we see it or not, trust and believe, as my brother says, there are people that are seeing the handwriting on the wall, but if we choose, and check this out, shall the trumpet sound in the city and the people not be afraid? See, our responsibility is to present information from Abba Yah as he gives it to us. Now, if individuals choose not to follow what is being given to them because for whatever reason they got issues with a teacher, with a moray, and some of the things that they say, even though it is coming from the word of the living God, guess who don't have a problem after they speak the word that Abba has given to them? The teacher. Because if one of us follows his will and does his will and speaks his word, guess who won't be blamed for whatever consequences comes about in your life? One thing I cannot hold at Gershon Ben Daniel's speakers was that he never told me the truth about my circumstances. He said, Rashawn, if you sell your house, you're going to have major problems in your life. And I didn't listen. He said, if I didn't, he said, you don't have to listen to me if you don't want to. But I'm telling you what Abba said. And I'm quite sure each one of us as individuals, when we didn't listen to the message that was given to us because we looked at the man and not realizing that Abba Yah uses him and Abba Yah used him, we did not listen. And as a result, it brought some very painful lessons in our life. I can guarantee you, every one of us that he loved and that he cared about and that sat at his feet and heard his words, that when Abba revealed something to him, even he left us a legacy and a letter, which I believe are coming to pass. Can't one of us say that when he told us something, and if we listened, it worked out. If we didn't listen, it did not work out. So he's blameless, just as each and every one of his moray that brings spiritual truths through the word of Yah to our brothers and sisters. If you don't listen, guess whose hands will still be clean? The presenter of the message. But let me go on. He said, 17:5, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And this is important, family. This is very important. He says, sanctify them with truth. Thy word is truth. So the truth of his word is going to set us apart while we are in this world. So he said, don't take them out the world. What I need you to do is sanctify them with that truth, the truth of your word. That is what's going to set them apart. That is what's going to protect them from evil. So I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Remember, he gave the parable of the seed sower, right? And he sowed good seed. than an enemy sow bad seeds. And as they started to come up, the wheat and the tares were all intermingled. And one of his servants said, you want me to come in and chop down the tares? He said, no, don't chop down the tares, because if you chop down the tares, you might damage the wheat. I don't want the wheat damaged. So I don't want you chopping down the tares right now. I need them to grow together. And at the time of the harvest, when my servant puts the sickle in, then as the crop comes in for my harvest, I'm going to separate at that point bundles of wheat and bundles of tares. And the bundles of tares are going to be thrown into the fire. Why? Because I cannot use them. Remember what we learned about the tares? The tares are actually poisonous. Even though they look very similar to wheat. So you can't intermingle them together. He said, sanctify them with truth. Thy word is truth. 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. So Yahushua sanctified himself for the benefit of us, family. So we are introduced to him. We have come into this relationship with him. We have come into this knowledge of him so that we can be sanctified and aligned with him. Again, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What? So now as we share the word of Abba Yah with people, now he says, look, I'm not just praying for them, but whoever now that they take my message to, I want you to protect them also. And for what purpose, family? Let's see. 17:20 again. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. For what purpose? 17:21 says, that they all may be one. Through what? The belief in his word? So is that the tie that binds? The word of Abba Yah and our individual relationship with it? 17:21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. So here's the thing, family. It ain't about unifying with a brother, unifying with a sister. It's about unifying with Yahushua, who's then unified with the Father and being unified with the Father through Yahushua. So the question is, if we cannot unify, if we cannot come together, if we cannot be fortified, then the question is, are you in Yahushua? Are you in the Father? Because if you're not in Yahushua, then you're not in the Father. And if you are not one, if you are not fortified, if you are not unified, if you are not echad, if there is an issue of variance, we know the formula. We know how we're supposed to take care of it. If any issues come about, but the question is, we don't follow the formula because we are not truly aligned with Yahushua HaMashiach and the Heavenly Father. And that's a fact. That's not speculation. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's what they say now when something's true. Facts. Facts. Well, I'd rather just say that's the truth. Seventeen twenty one, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. So if you are not one with Yahushua, if we're not one with each other, we're not one with Yahushua, and then in turn we're not one with the Father. So it behooves us to be one with Yahushua and one with the Father and then be one with one another. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So when we're not unified, we bring dishonor.
to the name of Yahushua and to Abba Yah when we are not truly unified, when we can't get past, ooh, and I want to say some street terms for real feelings. Some of our donkey feelings. Guarantee you, any problem that we have in coming together is based on an individual feeling, an opinion. And as the old adage goes, opinions are like what? And at any point, we should come together, and if we have a different way of seeing things, there's a way to go about doing that. There's a way about resolving that. But you know what happens? There's a lack in relationship with Yahushua and the Heavenly Father. Simple as that. Ain't no way of sugarcoating it. You ain't got a problem with a brother. He said, how can you love God who you don't see, but you can't love your brother who you see all the time? Do you understand that? How can you say you love God who you don't see? You ain't never seen him. The only time you're ever going to see the God, the Heavenly Father, is once you are gone on to glory. And by then, it's too late to have a relationship with your brother. Too late to have a relationship with your sister. So how can you say you love God who you've never seen? But I feel his presence in my life. You ain't seen him. How can you say that? How can you sit there and look at yourself in the mirror? But trust me, you ain't got, even if you lie to yourself in the mirror, guess who you can't? He said a liar will not carry any sight. You ain't gonna spend no time in front of the real judge. Same way Judge Judy, Judge Joe Brown, all them other judges cut people down. They go, wait a minute, once they realize, that's one of the things I used to love about Judge Judy. Once she realized that you are holding back something, and one of the things I've learned in my position, and one of the things that Gershom and Daniel said, but don't listen to what somebody's telling you. Try to hear what they're trying not to tell you. Because that will reveal the true intentions of the heart. Not what they're saying to you, but what they're trying to conceal from you. 17:21, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, one of the things, one of my favorite teachers he has gone on now was Brad Scott. And one of the things that he said that really stuck with me, other than words are things, was that it's not so much the power of the darkness, but it's the ineffectiveness of those who carry the light. And I thought that to be very profound. Because one thing's for sure, even in the midst of pure darkness, if you have a little candlelight, even if you lit up a cigarette, and the front of it is bearing light, that will still shine in the dark. Now, I'm not promoting smoking cigarettes. I'm just making a point. If you have a little candlelight, a matchlight, any little bit of light, it dispels the darkness. Just one little bit of light. But think about it, if now two lights came together, three lights came together, four lights came together, five, to the point where it's not just a torch, but it becomes like a menorah. Think about when we used to light the candlelight to Hanukkah, right? We light that first light, that second light, that third light, that fourth light. Now we don't have the Hanukkah anymore. We use the menorah. That's a Hanukkah. That's not that thing that they use in Hanukkah. That ain't scriptural. We use the menorah now, right? And you light that one light, second light, third light, fourth light, fifth light, sixth light. The middle light is always lit. I'm talking about the branch lights, right? So there's seven total lights. Once you light that sixth light, how beautiful and how bright it is. Especially if you use the candles or the oil, you turn the lights up in your house and it just lights up the whole house. But that's what happens when more and more light come together. It dispels more darkness. Simple science. 17:22,
And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they be may be one, even as we are one. I in them, 7:23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, in unity, in accord, in fortification, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Have we accepted the Heavenly Father's love? Have you really accepted? I mean, when I say accepted, I mean just yielded to that love. Have you yielded to that love? Have you given yourself over to that love? Have you presented yourself to that love? Have you embraced that love? Do you hug that love? Have you? Because the scriptures say perfect love casts away all fear. I in them and thou in me. It sounds like a riddle thing, but he's really emphasizing the point. I'm in him. He is in me. I am in you and you are in me. We are one. But he's really trying to drive home the point to his apostles, to his taught ones, to the shalot, to the ones that he has sent out. Because they're going to need that. They're going to need to be connected to the Father so that you don't deny him. 17:23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, in unity, in accord, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. See, this is why the world can't believe in Yahushua. This is why a lot of people look at this as, y'all a joke. Y'all Hebrews, y'all Israelites, y'all can't even come together. Y'all a joke. But Beth Yahweh should not be as the average Hebrew Israelite. Beth Yahweh should be able to come together in that love. Beth Yahweh should be able to come together in that unwavering love. We must ask ourselves why it cannot. We got all these challenges going out there. This is the challenge. The Why Beth Yahweh Can't Come Together challenge. The congregation as well as the entire nation of those who are of the Israel of Yah. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He loves us. If he didn't love us, why would he send his son to die for us? Why would he bring us into this relationship with his son if these words were not true? And it's not that the words aren't true. It's do you believe in the words? Do you embrace the words? Are you dedicated to this, to these words? 17:24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Do we understand what he's saying? Maybe I should read it from a different version. Let me see if the TS-2009. Father, I'm reading from the TS-2009. I like that version because I like seeing the Yod-Heh-Vav. Father, I desire that those whom you have given me might be with me where I am, so that they see my esteem, glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. So he would love for us to be able to see him in that magnificence. He would love for us to see him in that glory. But it's not the will just yet for that to happen. It's not his will just yet for that to happen. But he desires that. He prayed to the Father for that. He would love for that to happen for us. But right now, we have to endure and believe and have that faith, as it says in Hebrews, the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of which have not been seen yet. 17:25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. So you can't know the Father without knowing Yahushua and having a proper relationship with him. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Do we believe that, family? Because if we say that we believe, then we must walk in that truth. Since when did belief become unbelievable? Why are we limiting the hand of our Heavenly Father in our life? Why are we putting limitations on what he can do in our life? Why? Putting limitations on what he can do in our life. And I'm talking within reason, of course. I'm not talking about jumping off a building and being able to fly. I'm talking about things within reason, things that are attainable, like coming together, like really coming together. 17:25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, I had a whole lot of other scriptures this year, family, but I'm going to leave it right there. I'm going to leave it right at that. Because in order for us to be bound together, we must first be bound to Yahushua, and then by being bound to Yahushua, we are bound to the Father, and being bound to the Father is Yahushua, and if we are bound to Yahushua, then we are all bound together. And that is the tie that binds us together, family. That is the tie that binds us together. Being unified with our Heavenly Father, being unified with his Son, who then unifies us with our Heavenly Father, family. Shalom. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one. And trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Abba Yah, Toda, 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 for this journey that we have been on, Abba Yah. We look forward for the message that you are sending forth for us today, Abba Yah. We look forward to the message that you are sure to bring us in the next 6 weeks, that we pray, Father, for our brother Yaquel, that you hedge him up, that you bind him up, that you continue to strengthen him and bring him to that place, Father, that we all know that you have for those who love you, Abba Yah. We thank you, Father, for always leading us, for always guiding us. We thank you, Father, for being present within our lives, Father. We thank you for giving us life today. We thank you for giving us your Son, Yahushua. We thank you for bringing us into a relationship with you through your Son, Yahushua. We ask that you still look upon our Zakane, Matael. We ask that you look upon Zakane Gary. We ask that you look upon Zakane Aminia, Zakane Ward. We ask that you look upon Ema. We ask that you look upon my brother Deuel, that you continue to heal him, strengthen him, uplift him, uphold him. We pray that every brother, every sister that is suffering any ailment out there, whether spiritual, whether mental, whether emotional, whether physical, that you continue to look upon us with mercy and favor, and that, Father, we don't shorten your hand in our lives, that we don't limit what you can do in our lives, that you continue to be the wind underneath our wings, Abba Yah, and that we can glorify you the same way that your son asked us to glorify you, by representing you, by representing your son, by holding on to your word, by bringing the reality to this world that they can follow your ways, that your ways are not difficult, that your ways are not burdensome, that your yoke is light. Father, help us to understand how light your yoke is, and that your word continue to be a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, and that we keep walking in step with you and your son, Father, and that you continue to have mercy upon us, that you continue to hedge us up, that you continue to keep us as part of the fold, Father. One of the things that came to a reality of us while we were out at Sukkah is the reality of a great falling away. But Father, we know that you said all that had been placed into Yahushua's hand, that he's a trustworthy shepherd, and that not one that is truly his will ever, ever be lost. So we thank you for leading us and guiding us. We thank you for calling us out. We thank you for bringing us into a relationship with your son, Yahushua, and you. And we bless your name, O Yah. And we bless the name of Yahushua to remind us every day how grateful we should be for this calling, how grateful we should be for this relationship, how grateful we should be for every moment that you have given us in every day. And that we represent you and we represent your son well. Beshem Yahushua HaMoshiach. Amen. Shalom, family. Love you all. Shalom.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Give your name the highest praise today. So we say ha, yeah,
glory belongs to you, oh God.
Y'all know it by now, come on, sing.
All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
Oh Lord, we bless your name and we give you glory. We lift your high in all the earth.